Nothing in this recording is intended as investment advice, and the people in this recording may hold positions in the companies they talk about. Do not make any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Zach's Traders Cafe. Today I'm joined by Jason Brewer, who's CEO at Marula. How are you today, Jason?
I'm very good, Zach. Very, very good, actually.
Right, you're always a man in a hurry, and so it's difficult sometimes to keep up with what's going on. So maybe that's one of the benefits of this conversation today. What is the latest at Marula?
Look, we're fast accelerating our activities at the Blesberg Lithium and Tantalum mine there in South Africa. There's been a significant increase in mining and processing activity there with the recovery of the high-grade spodumene, which is destined as a DSO product into the international market. So a lot of my time over recent weeks has been spent finalizing an offtake arrangement, a long-term offtake arrangement for that product. We've also had to terminate the previous short-term arrangements, but pushing ahead at Blesberg with that offtake production and expanding those processing facilities has been a real kind of key area of focus for us. And in parallel with that, at Blesberg has been the big exploration program there, where we've got a two-phase diamond drill program, 38 holes, the first phase being 20, and we're well over 75% of the way through that first phase drilling. So core logging has started, assay work is underway. So now there's some pretty exciting activities there at Blesberg, which is clearly, I guess, investors looking at with a lot of interest, given it is lithium. And that's obviously doing exceptionally well in the markets at the moment.
Obviously, if you're in the mining area, it's difficult to maybe choose between your different metals, what's your favourite child is sort of the way you might think about it. You think lithium is the big winner at the moment, or is it uranium? What is your focus?
Oh, look, I mean, clearly for Marula, it's lithium. But at the same time, you know, we've got the copper and we've got the graphite, the copper up in Tanzania at our Kanusi copper mine, where the processing plant, the initial small processing plant is completed and ready to be transported up to Tanzania and commissioned and start processing. So that's going to take place in October. So copper's one. I think Robert Friedland came out with some comment today about copper and how he expects, and a number of big investment banks in the US are expecting that to be one of the star performers. So that's equally, you know, one of the darling childs within the Marula stable. But graphite, I tell you, our graphite projects in Tanzania as well, something which really excites me, especially at Nyori Nyori, where we've been able to see some spectacular high-grade material and jumbo flake material. So, you know, it's hard to say which one's your favourite child, Zach, actually, because they're all looking pretty damn good.
And I suppose the difference between what you're doing and maybe a lot of your CEO contemporaries in the mining space is that I think with Marula, there is we have line of sight on funding, we have line of sight on production as well.
Yeah, we do. Obviously, we've got the relationship with Q Global Commodities, which is one of South Africa's largest mining, private mining investment groups. They operate 12 coal mines doing between 600 and 700,000 tons a month of coal. So that's, you know, that's well over $1.5 billion of revenue a year, which they're generating. And they've got a big mining division, a big logistics division. So they've obviously diversified into the renewables space, the electric vehicle kind of commodities. And they've obviously committed funding to us, which we're using to acquire equipment, to secure new mobile mining equipment. So it's actually a great relationship. So we're not having to look over our shoulder each time we do something to fund those specific projects there in South Africa or Tanzania. So it's a great position to be in, that's for sure.
So you've got your sugar daddy who believes in you, which I suppose that is important. Don't you think that actually, you know, you're actually illustrating what the problem is for many junior miners, that they just are simply chronically underfunded?
Absolutely, and that's one of the reasons I think we've been quite successful, is that we've had funding available for us to advance our projects in a meaningful way. as opposed to almost drip feeding the projects through, which you see many of, call it our peer groups doing. Or what they do is actually the programs they're doing is not necessarily in the best interest of the projects. It's more in the best interest of getting that next round of funding in. Whereas I think what we're able to do, particularly at Blesberg, for instance, we're able to methodically go about bringing that into production, expanding production with all the new, you know, we've got several brand new bits of mining equipment that have arrived over the past 3-4 months. We've got two new XRF ore sorters, which are being commissioned over the course of the fourth quarter. And we've got a brand new crushing and screening circuit, which we're busy doing the cement works for at the moment. So we've had the time to basically go about that without rushing out results on this, that, or the other to get the equity markets excited to get funding in. So, no, it's a great position to be in. And, you know, it demonstrates that if you do have a well-funded, well-supported kind of junior company, then it can actually make meaningful progress, as opposed to, like you say, you know, 9 out of 10 junior companies which are undercapitalized and always chasing the investment dollar. It's not a good position to be in for any CEO wondering how he's going to pay the bills next month, how he's going to do this, how he's going to do that. It's always much easier when it's there and you can sit back and look at it strategically and say, right, how are we going to get this done? How are we doing that? How are we doing this? So, yeah, it's a great position. Probably there's a few people envious of what we're able to achieve, but it's not slowing us down, that's for sure.
And in terms of, I suppose people were waiting for you to go to AIM, if I'm correct. What is the position in terms of your listing?
Yeah, look, we've had quite a lot of discussions here with our advisors, our lawyers there in London and advisors there in London. We've got all the key constituent reports pretty much finalized now. Technical, legal, financial reports, which form part of that listing document to move from the Aquis exchange to AIM. And we've just got to literally finalize that over the coming weeks. We've also been advised that just given the growth of the company and where we're likely to be as well over the course of this fourth quarter, that perhaps we should also look at a standard listing of the company on the London Stock Exchange. There's pros and cons between the standard list and the AIM market, and that's something we're looking at. But, you know, from where we expect to be in the next 12 months, the next 6 months, the next 24 months, you know, the reputational, the reputational aspects of being on the main board in London is something which I quite like. I know Quinton and the QGC team like. So it's something we're seriously considering. It's not going to cost us any more. It's not going to take us any longer. But it's something I think which is well worth us considering, just taking into consideration where we're going to be in the next 12 months as a company, which in all likelihood is going to have 3 to 4 producing mines, a series of other development projects, and some great exploration potential. You know, is that a company that should be on AIM or should be on the standard list? It's something the board and myself are in a lot of discussions on at the moment.
Well, of course, the standard list is still a badge of honour, one could say. But it's ironic, actually, that you're probably one of the few companies that's actually flourished on Aquis. So, in fact, you could stay there and, you know, very well there as well.
Yeah, look, the Aquis market's been fantastic for us. You know, people have complained about how hard it is to actually buy shares in companies listed on Aquis, how limited liquidity there is there. But I think, look, you create your own liquidity. You've got to engage with the market, all the market participants you've got to engage with in a meaningful way. Not give them lip service, but you've actually got to really freaking work your ass off to get noticed and to get recognition on the Aquis market. And I think we've done that. And yeah, it's worked out well. We've just got to keep pushing. And when we move our primary listing to those other exchanges, you know, that's not going to stop us in terms of how aggressive we are at promoting what we're doing and in the market and our investors become aware of the various, you know, parallel activities. But, you know, Aquis has been a great market and hats off to them for what they're doing all the time. Clearly, we've just moved up to the kind of the premier league on Aquis, and you've actually noticed a material increase in liquidity and ease of being able to invest by a number of other investors. So yeah, that's worked out quite well for us, Zach, actually.
Well, on that bullish note, Jason Brewer, CEO at Marula, thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, Zach. Always a pleasure. Thanks again.